Good morning. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we gather today on this All Saints Day, to rejoice in the gift of the saints and to rejoice in Christ who makes us saints as well. A couple of notes here before service. One is to draw your attention to some changes upcoming in our services on Sundays. It's on the bottom of the insert in the bulletin. Just want to read this for you, and maybe a couple of comments about it. Along with what we are already doing on Sunday morning, so masks when we come and go and move about, physically distancing here in the sanctuary, running our HEPA filters, having multiple services, and in light of the rising number of cases, including locally, we are making some changes to our Sunday services starting next Sunday. So the plan moving forward, especially because of the concerns about the aerosol transmission, the small droplets that it's thought can spread the coronavirus, especially when we're in singing and in groups, hanging in the air. Starting next Sunday at the 9 a.m. service, I'm asking that people wear masks while singing the liturgy and the hymns. Anyone who's not able to wear a mask because of health issues or medical issues is welcome to speak with me. I'd be glad to talk with you about that. And certainly, if someone is unable to wear a mask, they may still come to that service, but it's so that everyone knows that they have a medical or health reason. The 11 a.m. service, we're going to keep as is, but masks are strongly encouraged for all while singing the liturgy and the hymns. And the 6 p.m. evening service will be a spoken service with no singing. What we've been doing as a church has been working really, really well. I wanted to do more, and I've been hesitant to do that, and now I'm not wanting to do less, hesitant to make changes in that direction. But it seems for the present time that this is a wise and prudent decision to make. I know that may change what service some people are coming to. The hope is that it helps some who are not coming to service be ready and comfortable to be in our midst, especially in this time when there is increasing concern about the virus. That's the first thing. Second brief note is that you'll notice I don't have the side offering plates out, just the offering box in the middle. I'm going to keep the side offering plates now reserved for the Sundays when we have benevolence offering. So you won't see those except on benevolence Sundays. In our prayers today, we'll be praying certainly for our country with the upcoming election, or elections, I should say. And I would like to remind all of you that our trust is not in princes. Our trust is not in men, in flesh, but our trust is in the Lord. And he reigns and rules no matter who wins. Hell will not be ushered in if the opponent wins, and heaven will not come if the one we're voting for and wanting to win is elected. So we need to keep our perspective as Christians and keep our heads, because many in our country may not keep their heads in the days to come. So let us lead by example with faithfulness, praying for our leaders, and being good citizens, whatever comes.
Thank you.
Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgave the guilt of my sin.
All-powerful God, merciful Father, I, a poor, pitiful sinner, confess to you all my sins and unrighteousness. By them I have continually offended you, and therein deserve your punishment, both now and eternally. But from my heart I am sorry for them, and I sincerely repent of them. And I pray you, of your limitless mercy, for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And it is said, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation.
They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame.
In your righteousness, deliver me.
For you are my rock and my fortress.
And for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me.
Into your hand I commit my spirit.
You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God.
Heavenly
pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you knit together your faithful people of all times and places into one holy communion, the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant us so to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that together with them we may come to the unspeakable joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
First reading for the Feast of All Saints is from the Revelation to St. John, the 7th chapter. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation.
They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
Blessed are those whose strength is in you,
in whose hearts are the highways to Zion.
The second reading is from the first letter of St. John, the 3rd chapter. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you.
Having heard the word, what do you believe? I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for our sin and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day rose again, according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." This is our text. Since today is All Saints' Day, it's fitting to ask, what makes a person a saint? What is at the core of being a saint, a holy person? What do all the saints have in common? That great multitude whom St. John sees standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And perhaps also to make it a bit personal to us, how do we become saints? If that's at all possible for us, and it's not already too late. To be a saint is to be a beggar before God. And to be a beggar before God is to be blessed with the kingdom of heaven. I'll say that again. To be a saint is to be a beggar before God. And to be a beggar before God is to be blessed with the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the beggars, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But I doubt very much that we picture beggars when we think of the saints. What image comes to your mind when you think of saints? We may picture saints as we see them in icons and religious artwork with those halos around their heads called nimbuses. You can pick them out because of the aura around them, because of the glow you see in those pictures. Or maybe we think of the saints as those who were persecuted and martyred for being Christians. St. John the Baptist with his head on a platter, St. Stephen stoned to death, St. Simon sawn in two, Saints Felicity and Perpetua who were fed to the lions, St. Lawrence who was roasted like a pig on a spit. Or those Christians who just this week were stabbed to death in France, and the Orthodox priest there who was shot. The martyrs are worth remembering. Maybe we call to mind great Christians of the past who were known for their bold and faithful teaching and confessing of the faith, like St. Irenaeus, or St. Athanasius, or St. Augustine, or Martin Luther, or C.F.W. Walther. It's good for us to know who these people are and to know what they taught. Or maybe when we think of saints, we're reminded of Christians whose lives were marked by virtue and sacrifice in service to their neighbors. The one that pops into my mind first here is a woman by the name of Corrie ten Boom. She was a Christian who lived in the Netherlands during the Second World War. She and her family hid Jews during the Holocaust. She herself spent time in a concentration camp, and she survived and later forgave her captors. Or maybe you think of Mother Teresa with her dedicated care for those who were poor and of the lowest castes in India. Or maybe it's William Wilberforce, a man in England whose Christian faith motivated him to lead the charge ending the slave trade in England. Such acts of love are worthy of emulation. And of course, it's not wrong to have these pictures in our minds of the saints. In fact, it's a very good thing. We can thank God and praise him for all of these saints and for so many others. We can also follow the example of the saints in our various callings. Husbands, you would do well to follow the example of Saint Joseph, the guardian of our Lord. Mothers and grandmothers can look to Eunice and Lois as examples. They passed on the faith to Timothy, the son and grandson. We can model our friendships after Barnabas, whose name means son of encouragement. And there are so many other saints down through the centuries. There are teachers and laborers and leaders and widows and artists and musicians and on and on. May we be bold to follow in their footsteps, doing good, proclaiming truth, and creating beauty. And yet, that's not what makes them saints. When St. John sees the saints in Revelation chapter 7, he sees a great multitude that no one could number and whom no one could name. A multitude whose names are known to God, but not to us. A multitude whose stories you and I don't remember, but God does. People who were farmers and fathers and wives and factory workers and pastors and business owners and citizens and youth. When Revelation shows us the saints, it's not just a picture of the who's who of saints, not just a list of those who are notable and noteworthy, but it's the mass of Christians of all ages, of all places, even this time and this place. And you know what would happen if you were to ask one of the saints, especially and including even one of the famous ones, what makes them saints? Do you know what they would do? They wouldn't point to themselves at all. They wouldn't show off a halo around their heads. They wouldn't draw attention to what they've done or how they've lived or died. If you were to ask one of the saints what makes them a saint, you'd get this response. Who? Me? A saint? You've got to be kidding. I'm not worthy of being a saint. Why? I'm just a beggar. That's what they would say. I'm not a saint. I'm a beggar. What are the saints? They are beggars all. It's not their glory that's remarkable, but their poverty. In Revelation, the saints are clothed in white robes and they carry palm branches in their hands and they cry out and sing the very same thing you do, which is not about you at all, but about Christ. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. So to be a saint is to be a beggar before God, which is a sort of interesting thing, because I would imagine that all of us gathered here would aspire to be saints. That would be a wonderful thing. We would love for that to be us, but I suspect that few of us would aspire to be beggars. Who wants to be poor in spirit? We would much rather be something. We would much rather be someone. We would like to have the kingdom of heaven, but we would prefer to have the kingdom of heaven because we've earned our place there, not because God has pity on us. But the Christian church isn't made up of the high and the mighty and the worthy. Just consider the first Christians. They were poor. They were humble. Saint Mary, the mother of God, was but a lowly maiden. The widow of Nain was a woman left alone in the world. The Canaanite woman was happy to be counted and treated as a dog. And blind Bartimaeus, there's a real beggar for you, standing by the side of the road, crying out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." There were tax collectors, and there were prostitutes, and there were drunks, and there were lepers, and there were children, and there were fishermen. Jesus went to the highways and byways, and he gathered the dregs of society to himself. He gathered beggars around himself. You may know the poem that's inscribed on the Statue of Liberty. I think that it's far more fitting as a description of our Lord. Standing in the New York Harbor, it says, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore." That's what Jesus says. And they came to him. And in the first centuries of the church, Christianity was criticized not for being a religion of the powerful, but for being a religion of women and children and slaves, a religion of the powerless, of beggars. Now, there are different kinds of beggars, and I want to be clear what I mean. There's a beggar who makes all kinds of promises about what he or she will do. I mean the kind of beggar who says, I'll work for it. Give me something to do. I'll dig ditches. I'll clean toilets. I'll rake leaves. Whatever it is, I'll do anything. I'll pay it off. But that's not really begging, is it? It's more like an attempt to cut a deal, more like an attempt to make a bargain, not to beg, but to earn what they receive. And to be honest, when I meet that kind of beggar, I really don't trust him. I trust the beggar who simply says, I've got nothing. I can't do anything. I can't give anything. I can't pay anything. I'm unworthy and undeserving, but I beg you because I'm in need. Now there's an honest man. There's a woman who knows herself. Before God, the saints are that kind of beggar. Before God, we are that kind of beggar. To call ourselves beggars before God isn't a statement about God. It's a statement about us. We're not saying that we need to beg God to get his attention. Not at all. We don't need to beg him. He's not waiting for us to get down on our knees before he responds. But we most certainly are beggars. To be a saint is to come before God with this confession. I'm a poor, pitiful, miserable sinner. I've got nothing to give you, no way to repay you. I deserve nothing except your wrath and your condemnation. To put it simply, I'm a beggar, and I know it. And even Martin Luther, for whom our church is named, is an example of this. And as much as we thank God for Martin Luther as a teacher and reformer and doctor of the Christian faith, perhaps the most important thing are the last words that he wrote. Found on a scrap of paper in his pocket after he died was a little note with these words: "We are beggars. This is true. We are all beggars. There's nothing else we can be. All our righteousness and all the personal righteousness of the saints, all of it is like filthy rags. To be a saint is to be a beggar before God. But to be a beggar before God is to be blessed with the kingdom of heaven. You see, God puts his gifts into empty hands. He fills the sack of the one who confesses that he has nothing. Jesus Christ came to deliver the kingdom to beggars. Blessed are the poor in spirit, he said, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And notice the focus isn't on what the poor in spirit do, but is on what the poor in spirit receive. They're given the kingdom. Isn't that amazing? That Jesus hunts out, he's looking for the beggars to give to them the kingdom, because Jesus is the great giver. The great giver of the kingdom. By nature, that's not how we would work. We look down on and we dishonor the poor man, but not Jesus. Listen, my beloved brothers, St. James writes, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? Jesus not only loves the poor in spirit, but he himself became poor in spirit. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. What are the saints but the poor who are made rich in Christ? What are the saints but those whose empty hands have been filled with Christ's gifts? What are the saints but poor, pitiful sinners whose sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and by his blood? What are the saints but harassed and helpless sheep whom Jesus shepherds through the valley of the shadow of death and into his green pastures? The reason the world does not know us, St. John says, is because the world did not know him. The world looked down at the poor, humiliated, crucified Jesus, even as it looks down on the poor in spirit still. But Jesus looks down from the cross with mercy and compassion on all beggars. You see, what makes the poor in spirit blessed isn't their poverty, but the riches of Christ. The multitude pictured in Revelation, who are they? These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They are the saints, the blessed poor in spirit, the persecuted and martyred, the beggars who deserve nothing but in Christ have everything. They are the one holy communion of beggars, all covered by the blood of the Lamb. But what strange beggars they are. Just consider what St. John sees. Beggars who are clothed in glorious white robes. Beggars who are holding palm branches of victory in their hands. Beggars who are singing a new song of triumph. Beggars who are protected from hunger and thirst, from sorrow and sadness, from sun and heat. Beggars taken up into the kingdom of heaven and no longer beggars, but sons. See what kind of love the Father has given to us beggars, that we should be called the children of God. Beloved, we are God's children now, but what we will be has not yet appeared. They serve God day and night, no longer as beggars, but as sons and daughters of the kingdom. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, here we live before God as beggars, but there we will serve Him as sons. Here we find ourselves empty, but there we will be filled with good things. Here we struggle to survive, but there we will inherit the kingdom prepared for us before the foundation of the world. Here we sorrow and mourn, but there every tear will be wiped away. And yes, even though here we die as beggars, yet we shall live with Jesus and we shall be raised with Jesus to eternal life. Not because of anything we've done, but because of everything He's done. All because of Jesus. So what are saints? Blessed beggars, one and all. Blessed beggars to whom Jesus gives the kingdom of heaven. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Such a great cloud of witnesses, and remembering the saints who have gone before, let us pray for God's people to endure the day of Christ's coming and for the needs of all people as we approach that blessed day. For all of God's children who have been baptized into Christ, including Julian Anthony, who will be baptized today, and for all who rejoice in Christ by faith, for our remembrance of those who went before us with the sign of faith and now rest from their labors, and for those who don't yet know God's mercy in Christ, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the poor in spirit who know their sin, grieve over their guilt, and seek the grace of forgiveness, and for those who mourn what sin and death have done to all people and to our broken world, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who hunger and for righteousness and seek to do what is good and right and true, and for the good works that shine with Christ's light in this world of shadows and darkness, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the merciful who show compassion and forgive as Christ loved and has forgiven us, for purity of heart that we may seek the Lord and serve his holy purpose, and for those who seek peace through the blood of Christ, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the persecuted church throughout the world, for a bold witness in the face of rejection and threat, and for the martyrs who choose faithfulness rather than deny Christ, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the nations and those who govern here and in every place, for the fruits of mercy, for an impartial system of justice, for the protection of the weak, aged, and unborn, and for freedom to worship the Lord in spirit and truth, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the elections and for those who will be elected, for our faithful discharge of this duty of democracy, and for our good citizenship, that those elected may honor God's law and serve with faithfulness in the offices committed to their care, and for peace in our midst, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick in their afflictions, for the aged and infirm in their struggles, for the dying in their final days on earth, and for the grieving who are wounded by the loss of those they love, especially for Randy and Shirley, who mourn the death of Robert, for Jim, Jeff, and Audrey recovering from surgeries, and for Dottie, Donna's friend, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the will to keep faith with the saints who have gone before us, for wisdom as we contend for the faith against the enemies of God's word, for faithful preaching and teaching, and for all those who serve us with the Lord's word and sacraments, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faith and repentance to receive for our benefit the body and blood of Christ in this holy sacrament, for our unity of doctrine and life as God's people, and for the fruits of this blessed communion to be displayed in the grace of holy living, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Now remembering the saints whose lives and witness point to Christ, who believed in him from the world's beginning, and who are now wholly alive in his splendor, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Job, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, David, and Samuel, all righteous rulers and faithful prophets, Zechariah, Elizabeth, and Joseph, the guardian of our Lord, the great cloud of witnesses, the millions of martyrs, including Stephen, James, Peter, and Paul, and all the apostles, Cecilia, Agatha, Lawrence, Ignatius, Polycarp, Felicity, Perpetua, and all the martyrs of our own time whose sufferings glorified God. All faithful evangelists and teachers of his word, including Martin and Carl, Pastor Mike and Pastor Jim, all pure artists and authors, including Johann, Felix, George, Clive, Dorothy, Gilbert, and Flannery, the saints who loved us here, who prayed for us here, and led us by their holy lives and their faith in Jesus, the blessed dead who died in Christ and who stand now in his presence in strength and beauty, Alfred and Mary, Edward, Octavia, Julia, George, Janet, and Louise, Pastor Frank and Jean and Aline, Lauren, Evelyn, Philip, and Nancy, Eva, Joanne, Richard, and Priscilla, Alice, Daniel, Father Donut, and Tom, Mildred and Maury, Alberta and Jean, David, Ronald and Pauline, George and Eva, David, Kirk, Jim, and Agatha, Barbara, Donald, Gwendolyn, and Grant, Doris, Roger, Ernest, and Allison, Lillian, Hugh, Ragnar, Bill, and Isa, Joanne and Carl, David and Mary Ellen, Brunhilda, Elvita, Harold, James, and Jerry, Vivian and Joy, Catherine, Robert, and Ruth, Susan, Adolf, Bertha, Dolph, Hedvig, Carl, Lillian, Stephen, and Erd, June, Walter, Anne, Stacy, Connie, Charles, Mim, and Toy, Jim, B, Ted, and Rachel, Dot, Dorothy, Harold, John, Hilma, Larry, Herbert and William, Charles, Frederick, Gladys, Mildred, and David Sr., Ralph and Betty, Arnold, Dorothy, Irvin, Fred, Gracia, Harold, Joanna, John, Lorraine, Marie, Martha, Marvin, Olga, Thomas, Walter, and Tim, Kathy, Sean, Amby, Anna, Charles, Dora, Ano, Floyd, Kristen, Maria, Pastor Herman, Ray, Sylvia, and Velma, Lino and Timey, John and Jesse, John, Jose, Maria, and Mario, Jim, Jean, Jeffrey, John, and Dorothy, Jesse, May, James, Nancy, and Ralph, Glennis, Gerald, and Bill, Christine, Virgil, and Desire, Bob, James, Lillian, Minnie, and Reba, Duncan, Bill, Carmilla, Daniel, Donald, Gary, Janet, Janine, Mark, Martha, Robert, and Zephyr, Andy, Jerry, Anthony, Bonnie, Dorothy, Carl, and Lewis, Dot, Jay, Ron, Eunice, and Sylvester, Richard, and Wilma, Richard Sr., Mary, Ben, Julie, Raymond, Catherine, George, Joseph, Walter, David, and Ruth, George, Derek, Vicky, Tim, and Michael. For Mary, the Mother of God, and all who like her trust his word and now behold his glory, that we might join all of these in faith and in steadfast witness as we pass on the sacred deposit to those who will follow us, we thank and pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. O Almighty God, we give you thanks that you have washed us in the blood of the Lamb, written our names in the Lamb's book of life, and made us a royal priesthood and heirs of an eternal inheritance. Though we deserve none of your mercy and are unworthy of your saving grace, we pray you to hear our prayers in the name of Jesus our Lord, in whom, with whom, and through whom all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift their hearts to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right that we do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. In the communion of all your saints gathered into the one body of your Son, you have surrounded us with so great a cloud of witnesses that we, encouraged by their faith and strengthened by their fellowship, may run with perseverance the race that is set before us, and together with them receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 holy Lord God of Sabaoth. Heaven and earth are full of your
heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Refreshing us with this healing gift, and we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Christ Jesus, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.